Good morning. The scripture is taken from Psalm 62. For God alone my soul waits in silence. From him comes my salvation. He alone is my rock and my salvation, my fortress. I shall never be shaken. How long will you assail a person? Will you batter your victim, all of you, as you would a leaning wall, a tottering fence? Their only plan is to bring down a person of prominence. They take pleasure in falsehood. They bless with their mouths, but inwardly they curse. For God alone my soul waits in silence. For my hope is from him. He alone is my rock and my salvation, my fortress. I shall not be shaken. On God rests my deliverance and my honor, my mighty rock. My refuge is in God. Trust in him at all times, O people. Pour out your heart before him. God is a refuge for us. Those of low estate are but a breath. Those of high estate are a delusion. In the balances they go up. They are together lighter than a breath. Put no confidence in extortion and set no vain hopes on robbery. If riches increase, do not set your heart on them. Once God has spoken, twice I have heard this, that power belongs to God and steadfast love belongs to you, O Lord. For you repay to all according to their work. Thanks be to God.
And then from the New Testament, Matthew 5, when Jesus saw the crowds, he went up the mountain, and after he sat down, his disciples came to him. Then he, Jesus, began to speak and taught them, saying, Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Let us pray. O God, may your word be opened for us today. So with accepting hearts and accepting minds and willing spirits, we may receive and do the word implanted in us. In Jesus' name, amen. When I was a young pastor, I was called to a church in Indiana and discovered, after I had accepted the call and been there a few weeks, maybe a few months, that one of the expectations of me, the new pastor, was that I would be camp pastor to a statewide church camp for what was then called, we don't use this word anymore, good riddance to it, but what was then called retarded adults. We use a different word now, maybe cognitive disability or whatever it is that's correct, but in those days we used that word and it was not a good word, but that's what we used then. The church had a Sunday school class for people who were of cognitive disabilities. It was a large class, maybe 15 or 20 people, and every Sunday morning they sat right there on the second row. And so I knew them, but still, I didn't know how to do this. I had no training in this. And frankly, I was not looking forward to this week of summer camp where I would be camp pastor for all of these people across the state of Indiana who came to spend a week together. How wrong I was. It turned out to be the best week of the summer. Hands down, no second place even to mention. And I did this for 8 consecutive summers. I was camp pastor at Camp Railad in Indiana in a Methodist camp setting for these people. And I learned every year so much. And the thing that I learned most deeply and heartfelt was what it means to be poor in spirit. Being poor in spirit came naturally to these campers who taught me what it means in their simple and profound ways. Now, being poor in spirit, as most of the Beatitudes are the same here, being poor in spirit is not a spiritual merit badge. It's not like you have to satisfy a certain number of requirements and then you get to say, oh yes, now this person or now I am poor in spirit. That's not the way poor in spirit works. Poor in spirit means to recognize who we are. To be able to see our lives fully and completely, and then to understand that without each other, without other people, and without God, other people and God, neither can be separated from the other. Without other people and without God, we cannot live a fully human life. Anything that separates those two or leaves one or the other out makes it impossible for us to live fully human life. These campers knew that. They knew it naturally. They knew it instinctively. They were people without pretense. They didn't care who you were. They didn't care if you were smart or dumb. They didn't care if you were rich or poor. They didn't care if you were handsome or not, or beautiful or plain. They didn't care about any of those things. They were without pretense, which is not the way the world works, of course, is it? The way the world works is that if you want to count, if you want to be somebody, then you must be a person of some kind of extra value. You must be rich. If you're rich, you'll be important. If you're beautiful, you may be important. If you have talent, you may be important. You know, talent, like being able to hit 3 home runs in one game. Now, if you don't follow the Pirates, that just went all over your head. But some of you got that. These campers didn't care about any of that. this pretentiousness is something that separates us from each other. That separates those who are valuable from those who are not so valuable. From those who count from those who don't count. And in the church, in religion, we even see spiritual pride. I love the third chapter of Matthew. We read from the fifth. The third chapter of Matthew, John the Baptist, and he talks about those who say, "Oh, we have Abraham for our father. We have." Can you hear the spiritual pride? The pretentiousness. Even in church, there can be pretentiousness, as if somehow we have it better than others. The psalm that we had read for us today, the psalmist says it so beautifully, and it's repeated twice, if you caught the reading. "For God alone my soul waits in silence. For God alone." And then it goes on to say, and it says it twice, "He alone is my rock." There's no pretentiousness in that. It's a recognition. It's not a merit badge. It's just being able to see it. That without God's people and without God's presence and goodness and grace, we can't live a fully human life, because these are the things that make life worth living. And these are always gifts. These are not accomplishments. We don't have to be smart. We don't have to be rich. We don't have to be beautiful. We just have to be open. Like these campers were just open. They didn't care who you were. You were important to them. It was such a great week. It was a blast, actually, all day long. I remember going into the dining room, and the first time we went into the dining room for one of our meals there at camp, they put bracelets on all of the counselors, like me. They were colored bracelets. They were the kind that you would get if you went to the hospital. And I asked the reason for this. Why do we have to wear these bracelets? And the answer was, sometimes the kitchen staff needs to ask a question of one of the counselors, and they can't tell you apart. You get it. You got that. I didn't know if you would get that. We would be sitting around the table, and it was a feast of love, and you couldn't tell who was a counselor and who was a... It was such a blast. It was such a feast of love. And I delighted in the fact that working as a counselor and camp pastor in this setting, I couldn't fail. That was so beautiful. You know, when we live in the world, we feel as if we have to bring something to the table. You know, we have to be clever. We have to be smart. We have to be something. We have to bring something to the table. But working with these campers, whatever I brought, whatever I offered to them was enough. Doesn't that sound like the kingdom of heaven? Doesn't that sound like the kingdom of God? Doesn't that sound like what we need to be for each other? That just bringing who we are is enough. We don't have to be more. Thomas Merton said that a saint is someone who is most fully himself, most fully herself. That's heaven. That's the kingdom of heaven. When we don't have to be more, we just need to be who we are. Who we are, and who are we? Well, we're people who are made in God's image. That's enough. We are people who are created for relationships of love. That's why we are created. That's why God put us on the earth. So that we could have relationships of love with one another. We are destined to be God's people in the world. That's who we are, and that's enough. But the most beautiful and important part of being at camp for me has to be each evening after dinner, as the sun began to go down, all the campers would gather at this worship spot right next to the lake. It was just idyllic. The sun's going down and we're on this beautiful lake and we're gathered in this worship place. And they, looking past me, can see the lake, and I stand before them and I preach. Like I'm doing right now. But I've never had a congregation like that before or since. As I looked at them and they looked back at me, as I pointed them to the mystery that we call God, the God who cares and loves each one of us so deeply and permanently and wonderfully, I've never seen faces like that. Their faces were in rapture. They glowed. They radiated. It was sort of like Stephen when he was stoned, and it says that his face shone like an angel. And as I looked at these people and they were giving themselves to the mystery that we call God, that was like every one of them, and it wasn't once, it was every night. Their faces radiated and shone. And I learned what it meant to be poor in spirit. To realize my great need of you, of each other, of God's people. My great need, how I can't live, I can't be human by myself, that I need these people in my life because God has made me for loving relationships. And of my great need for God, who's created me wonderfully and who calls me into unity and union with his very heart, so that my heart and God's heart are one. So the psalmist that we read says, pour out your heart before him. As I looked at them each night, that's what they were doing. They were pouring out their heart which is what we will do in a moment now. We will pour out our heart. And we will be poor in spirit. Amen. The word having been proclaimed, I trust, among us here, we prepare to gather at the table of our Lord, where we will fall in love again. We will fall in love with Jesus once again. And we will fall in love with each other once again. And we will be poor in spirit once again.